We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, good morning, everyone. A little bit of a switcheroo here on a Friday. Evan Giddings in with Matt Steinmetz, but you've been kind enough to switch seats with me, Steiny, and I think I understand why. Because I can't, first of all, mic's up. The first thing you got to do is always check in with your partner in the morning. So we get in about 8:15, 8:30, and you say, I got some victory laps to take today. And I want to ask you, where do you want to start, Steiny?
Well, I don't need to start with a victory lap. They'll come naturally over the course of the show, I'm sure. I will say this, though. You know, there's some Jonathan Kuminga stuff out there, new stuff. And this isn't a hot take. This is just my opinion. I think this thing's turned acrimonious. And if you don't know what that means, TG on the YouTube chat, go look it up. All right, TG, your mouth. I just putting together some pieces. What else are you led to believe other than there's not a lot of trust between these two parties? And I mean, what do we have to see before we realize he doesn't want to play here? And I'm starting to think he doesn't want to play here, whether he makes $10, $20, or $28 million a year, or $30.
I mean, that's what I glean from everything we heard in the last 24 hours, not just from his agent, but then, I mean, I would say that the latest development from Anthony Slater, now of ESPN, kind of corroborating what Shams Charania said yesterday on NBA Today, which is, look, he's not interested in signing right now.
Right.
But you took it a step further. Because I'm with you. I don't think he wants to sign here at all. I think he wants to play for another team. Now, if he signs and then they trade him, that's one way to get out of it. But I think it's becoming increasingly clear that Jonathan Kuminga has no interest, if he gets his way, in wearing a Golden State Warriors uniform ever again.
Yeah, listen to this. Because there was also a story in The Athletic by Fred Katz that had an incredible, very informative poll that he took of a bunch of front office people about what he thought or what they think a fair contract is for Kuminga. We can certainly get into that. But, you know, it's a definitive statement from Slater. Kuminga is in no rush to sign the latest contract offers from the Warriors. And also in the story before that, he says the Warriors delivered what they believe to be a fair offer. But Kuminga is in no rush to sign the latest contract offers from the Warriors. I mean, Slater basically said that the sides reconvened, you know, sometime in the last week, and that the Warriors were, you know, how do I want to put it, coming with a new approach maybe, or a different mindset. And regardless of what happened, Kuminga's still working out in Miami and apparently in no rush to sign a contract extension with the Warriors. And I'm starting to wonder if it's at any price he doesn't want to be here.
Well, and this is what it's turning into. We could put the rat on the table early, brought to you by Atco Pest Control. This is turning into a lose-lose situation. The Warriors are, if you want to call it, mismanaging an asset because they haven't figured out what to do with this guy on or off the court, it feels like, for four seasons. And I think by the day, Kuminga is costing himself money, or has over the course of the last, you know, really since these contract negotiations started last summer. Both sides are, I don't think, happy with the other. Could they make it work in a potential, future? Perhaps, but nobody's going to be happy about that. I mean, to me, the Warriors are staring at a situation now where they feel like they're offering something fair because they need an asset. And Jonathan Kuminga doesn't want to be just an asset.
Right.
He wants a new team. I think he wants a fresh start. He wants a place where he can play, where he's going to get opportunity. All things that I believe he feels like, in one way, shape, or form, he should have gotten over the last four seasons. And what the Warriors are trying to, in my mind, impart on him is patience is going to get you where you want to go. And I completely understand from his side, from Kuminga's side, him saying, dude, I've been patient for 4 years. I've been patient since the moment I got drafted to a team I had no chance to play for. I'm watching all these guys around me get paid. Jalen Green, 3 for 105. Franz Wagner, 5 for over 200. All these guys in my draft class who I think that I'm as good, if not better than. Get me out of here. I mean, to me, the last 24 hours have been a plea from Kuminga's camp in some way, shape, or form to get the Warriors to trade him.
So here's where it stands right now. Kuminga has a $7.9 million qualifying offer on the table, and it's allowing the Warriors to retain his rights. On, what is it, October 1st? October 1st.
Yes, that's the date.
That's the date where one of two things has to happen. He's either gonna sign that, or he's going to sign another kind of contract for more years, or he's not going to play, essentially. And so I think what we're seeing right now, if you're a Seinfeld fan, is we're seeing Costanza and his in-laws' family. They're driving to the end of Long Island right now. They're driving to the end of the Hamptons where the solarium's supposed to be, and both sides are ready to just ride it out until they get to a point where they can't ride it out anymore.
Well, and this is from the Boxer and Gruson Work Injury Attorneys text line. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan in with Steiny. Duh, from the 415. Duh. Why would JK want to stay with the team? I don't know. I don't think that he does. And that's really where we've gotten to. At this point, I think I've kind of gone back and forth this summer, feeling like this relationship was potentially salvageable. You know, if there was a bit of patience on both sides, if the Warriors were able to provide a compromising contract, some sort of money to keep him happy, you know, a three-year deal. And we'll get into the Fred Katz article, who polled 16 executives across the NBA to get an idea of just what Kuminga's value really is across the NBA. But the Warriors, I just think that they've misread this player. I legitimately believe that Kuminga is going to do whatever he can at this point to get himself away from this team, because there's no opportunity for him here, or at least he doesn't feel that way. And I just, Steiny, it has to come to a head at some point, but the longer this draws out, the more I almost feel like Kuminga is kind of keeping the Warriors hostage in a sense, because that's the only card he has to play.
Yeah.
And hostage from making other moves this summer. Obviously, the only NBA team that hasn't done anything.
Right. And on the other side, we'll definitely get into some of the numbers that a lot of executives threw out there for Kuminga. There were a lot of ideas. So basically what happened was, in The Athletic, writer Fred Katz, he took a poll of 16 front office people around the league about what they think is a fair contract. By the way, was that story up when we did our show yesterday?
No, so the Slater article...
Because you asked that question, and then today there's a story about it.
Well, it wasn't up yesterday.
Right.
Great minds think alike. But the Slater article dropped right at 2 o'clock when our show ended, so we haven't had a chance to review it. And then the Fred Katz article came out this morning.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into that all day. And again, look, I know that it's coming, and it's another day, but there are new developments, and I just feel like it's coming to a head. You know, it's been 25 days since free agency has started. The Warriors have done nothing, and after 3 weeks, I think Kuminga's camp is trying to push the envelope. Clearly, they weren't able to get anything done in face-to-face interactions in Las Vegas during Summer League. The Warriors were optimistic about their offers. They felt like they had something fair on the table. And whether it's fair, whether they undervalued him, they cut something low, they put together a low ball offer, I'm starting to feel like, Sonny, it doesn't matter what the number is at this point, that Kuminga wants to go. And it's becoming, I feel like, clear that for both sides, that's inevitably what has to happen.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be a know-it-all here, but the one thing, too, that I find interesting is there's a story on ESPN. There was Shams' report. Then there was a story from Slater. Then there was a story in The Athletic. And that's not a coincidence that in a span of a day, there's this news that's generated about Kuminga, which is another aspect of where we're at.
And where are you at? Where are the fans at? 888-957-9570. We're going to continue to break this down as we roll along. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries take on the Dallas Wings. Paige Becker's in the house. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game or on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. Brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Evan Giddings in with Matt Steinmetz. That segment sponsored by Ceremony Ford.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Switching spots with Steiny today. You're in a good mood, and I can tell by,
of course,
by the fact that you're a little urgent.
I'm a little what?
Urgent.
What does that mean?
Well, you're playing with a sense of urgency today. You know, it feels like you know instead of just kind of easing your way into the game, like you're taking it. And I don't know if it's the switch up, but I can tell you got a little extra pep in your step today.
Yeah, I do. I think there's a lot going on. Obviously, a lot going on with Kuminga. We got the Mets in town.
We do.
A big series for the Giants. Trade deadline less than a week away. And then lastly, I've been giving a lot of thought to the Niners, and they are in a fascinating position. We'll get into all that. And I just got a lot of thoughts today. I really do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Second day of training camp in the books. Got some Robert Saleh sound that I think is pretty revealing about the state of their defense. We'll get to that in a bit. And 6 days away from the MLB trade deadline. And the Giants obviously have a big series. They get the Mets six times in the next 10 days, beginning tonight. So a lot on the horizon. But what we are starting with today is Jonathan Kuminga after some of the latest developments. Yesterday, Anthony Slater of ESPN writes, General Manager Mike Dunleavy in the Warriors front office showed an extra level of motivation this week in conversations with Kuminga's agent, delivering what they believe to be a fair offer to bring Kuminga back for a fifth season despite their rocky four-year partnership. But Kuminga hasn't found anything that presented appealing, he said. So drawn-out negotiations remain motionless. They basically have until October 1st, the qualifying offer deadline for Kuminga to opt in for $7.9 million. That would make him, essentially a non-trade candidate. You would have a no-trade clause in that situation, could determine where he goes, and could set himself up for unrestricted free agency if that's what he chooses. Then, today, Fred Katz of The Athletic polled 16 executives in rival front offices, asking them what they believe is a fair contract offer for Kuminga. And I found this interesting. So yesterday we were talking about, like, what do you think is a fair contract offer? It was offered up by our YouTube chat, our great listeners. And I think yesterday I said 3 for 54,
mm-hmm.
and your offer was
4 for 62.
4 for 62.
The Nikhil Alexander Walker deal.
Yep. Yeah. So, but I think we're both on with $18 million a year, essentially. So yep. The answers ranged in Fred Katz's poll from $17 to $25 million in average annual value. So the median value about $20 million. People
right.
think across the league that Jonathan Kuminga is a $20 million player.
Right. Yep.
I think he's fine taking that money, but as long as it gets him out of Golden State. And that's where I think this is kind of tricky.
I tend to agree with you. So, 16 executives were asked to not only talk about what they thought was a fair contract for Kuminga, but also they talked about the options and maybe some of the fallout with what ends up happening with the situation. But the way I look at it is if Fred Katz on The Athletic talked to 16 front office people, and of all, like, they all had different amount of years. Like, some GMs probably know Kuminga doesn't want to be there, so they suggested a 2-year contract. That's some money. Others suggested 3. Others suggested 4. But for the sake of this argument, everybody came in between 17 and 25. Okay, so I think it's fair, and tell me if you think this is an assumption too far, but I feel like if 16 teams are saying to Kuminga, and they're not, I mean, 16 teams told this guy 17 to 25, I got to believe the Warriors have offered at least 17 a year. And he is in no hurry to sign that. Why not? I think it might be becoming more because he doesn't want to be here than the money itself. Because his agent has to know, let's say the Warriors, I don't know, they were building off the mid-level, and that's where he was like, no. And then this week came up and they upped it to 17, 18, or 19 million, something like that. Well, if he by turning that down, he knows there's no other offer out there from another team. So under that scenario, he's saying to the Warriors, I'm not signing that. I'm just not signing it. And, you know, we move on until August.
Well, that's why I'm starting to get the feeling that I don't think Kuminga even wants to stick it out for 6 months. And the Warriors don't want to bring him back for nothing because they need him as an asset. And he's saying, dude, come training camp, I don't want to be going back to Hawaii with the Warriors. I don't want to play for this team any longer. That's really what I sort of gleaned from the last 24 hours is he wants out. And even if there's an under the table or this like handshake agreement that so they would be eligible to trade him in 6 months, January, and then obviously before the mid-February deadline, he doesn't even want to wait that long. I mean, he wants to start a new chapter of his professional playing career somewhere else starting mid-October of 2025. And he knows that if he signs that deal, that more team-friendly deal, let's say it's at 17, then the Warriors are not going to be able to get something for him that's worth trading. And he sees that as, well, then I'm just going to be stuck again.
Right.
And I think that he wants a fresh start more than he wants money. And that's where this is kind of tricky for the Warriors because Tim Kawakami of the SF Standard added today, one of the reasons why the Warriors are trying to retain Kuminga is they think they still have an outside shot at someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo. And the one thing the Warriors don't have, which Katz's article outlines right as well, they don't have any contracts between essentially $12 million and $60 million. Draymond Green's contract would be the most numerically tradable, but they don't seem like they want to get off him.
Right.
So between the max slots they have in Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry and Moses Moody, there is nothing that they can use to aggregate to go out and get someone to help this team. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, as much as I understood why they traded or got off of Chris Paul's deal, right? They had that option to basically move him last summer. Mm-hmm. I never understood why they didn't try to keep the slot. And it was financial. I realized they had to get out of an apron and they wanted to reset their books. But now they're looking at a place 365 days later where they need another 30 million slot. And Kuminga's the only player that has any chance to basically fill it.
Yeah, I mean, I would think, you know, 30's on the high side. They
25, they, or, but that sort of range.
20 to 30-ish, maybe something like that. But I hear you. This is from Austin on the YouTube chat. Why would he take $17 million a year? All it takes is one team to pay him 25. JK will play for any team. The problem is, if there's a team out there, Austin, willing to pay him 25, that's still only half the battle. The other half of the battle is not only does a team have to see, it's kind of like the Ayuk thing when you wanted to trade for him. Not only does a team need to like Kuminga, they then need to pay Kuminga, and then they need to give up assets for Kuminga. And that's a lot of things for a team you better be really in love with a guy to do that. And that's where the difficulty comes in. That's great that there might be another team out there that wants to give him 25, but the other part of it is, what are they going to give the Warriors?
Nothing. Or not much.
Exactly.
And again, the Warriors have set this price tag of a young player and a first-round pick. And I think they might be able to get one or the other, but I don't see, to your point, I don't see any team being willing to offer both for a player that they have to then commit to that, again, according to 16 rival executives, nobody knows his value. It is such a wide range right now between 17 and 25. There's 10 people that feel like it should be a three-year contract. There are 4 people that believe it should be a 2-year contract. There's one person who even thinks that Kuminga is worth 5 years for $125 million, similar to the Jaden McDaniels deal with Minnesota. There is such a varying level of evaluation of this player across the league that it makes things so difficult right now to do, in addition to a frozen restricted free agency market. So what I see is this thing continuing to linger on to the point where one side is going to have to call the other's bluff. Either the Warriors are going to have to just give in and trade him and essentially take a low ball offer this summer, or Kuminga is going to have to be willing to sign the qualifying offer to get what he wants, which is eventually to get out of here.
Right.
The one thing that I find problematic about that is if JK legitimately sees that as his only path to leaving the Warriors, number one, he's still going to have to be on the team next year. And number two, he's going to have to play hard. Because even if you get to free agency, you need your value to be higher than it is right now. So I just feel like these two are at a stalemate in which they're not happy with basically the other's ideology of what should happen.
Yeah, and I always get a kick out of the idea that one side or one player is going to do anybody else or the other side any favors. That's not the way negotiating works. And now I've seen this two or three times where and I've read it. The Warriors want a first-round pick. That's a joke. Like, they're not going to get a first-round pick, I don't believe. And so it...
Well, there is an unprotected first-round
pick.
Sure,
yeah, unprotected.
An unprotected
first-round pick.
Well, like, the Suns don't even have a pick to offer.
Exactly.
The Kings are the only team that's been in talks with the Warriors that has put a protected first-rounder on the table.
Right, exactly. And so... You know, if the Warriors are saying, well, we're not entertaining any trade without an unprotected first, well, this thing's going to go to October 1st, unless Kuminga wants to sign a deal on October 1st that he won't sign today, assuming it's still there. I mean, this has put both Kuminga and the Warriors in a tricky spot, in a real tricky spot, because you're right. I mean, people out there say, well, he's not going to play on the qualifying offer. He won't play on the qualifying offer. And that makes sense. I tend to believe that too. But if he doesn't want to be here, and his last offer from the Warriors is 3 years, $50 million, what's he going to do? He can either play on the 8 or he can take the Warriors 3 for $50, three for $60, but then he's stuck here. Then he could be stuck here. And if I'm Jonathan Kuminga, and if the one thing I know is I'd like to be somewhere else, then I can't sign a contract here longer than 1 year.
And that's why it feels like it's becoming a lose-lose, because Kuminga's in no rush to accept the Warriors' offer. The Warriors are in no rush to up their offer, it feels like. And every day that we move on, July 26th, 27th, August 1st, towards October 1st, I'm feeling like, Steiny, every single day, Kuminga loses money, and we also get closer to the Warriors just cutting bait and trading him to get whatever they can. And that's why it's a lose-lose, because I don't get the sense that Kuminga wants to come back, and I don't get the sense that the Warriors are willing to take a low ball offer. But eventually, one side is going to have to give in, and I don't know which side it's going to be. But all I know is that I don't see either side. I don't see both sides being happy come October 1st with whatever the resolution is.
Well, and let's take a team like Phoenix, who's said to be very interested. Okay, they're not winning a title this year. All right. So if you're Phoenix and you're talking to Dunleavy and you're saying, "No, we like Jonathan. We'd love to have him here, but we can't give you. You know, we can't give you." Or you're asking for something that we just can't give you. Well, a team like the Suns is going to say, "Okay, fine. We'll wait till next offseason." Because if he signs the qualifying offer, then he's just a free agent next year, and we'll go get him if we like the price. Okay, but if you're Phoenix, then you say, "Well, he's probably not going to take the qualifying offer. Or probably not going to play under that." All right, but he's not signing the Warriors deal either.
Well,
so,
and that's what, like, the Suns are betting against or gambling against the Kings. I mean, those are the two teams that are interested in JK right now, and that also it feels like he has an interest in joining. You know, the Kings, I'm not necessarily sure why, because I don't think he would start for that team, but maybe he gets more of an opportunity. The Suns, meanwhile, I think that's the team that he wants to get to. I think that's the team that he sees himself having the most opportunity to blossom into whatever he believes his capabilities are.
Yeah, and I would suggest if listeners have The Athletic to go look at this Fred Katz story, because it is really, I really think there was great information in there. And the one thing that, just to give you guys context, you know, playing under the qualifying offer, you know, if Jonathan Kuminga doesn't like the deals he's getting, in theory, he could play this year for $8 million.
Yep.
And that would give him essentially a no-trade clause. Now, what that really means is Kuminga could veto a trade if the Warriors had something for him with a team he didn't want to go to. If he plays on the $8 million, then he can decide where he goes if the Warriors decide to trade him this year. Okay. So playing on the qualifying offer is a gamble. But it has been done. And Fred Katz's article, Ben Gordon did this. Ben Gordon was with the
Bulls.
The Bulls. He played under the qualifying offer, had a good year, and ended up being fine, making a pretty big number the following year. On the flip side, there's Nerlens Noel, who turned down a deal. Go ahead, you know more about the Noel deal.
Well, Noel was traded to Dallas from his original location, and felt like he was, you know, better than what they were offering him. I think it was like a 4-for-72 type of deal. Anyways, he chose the qualifying offer, got hurt that year, and he kind of bounced around, and the latter stages of his career were mostly injury plagued, but he lost himself a lot of money. So there's examples of this working out and this not working out. The reason why I think that Kuminga is closer to Noel is Ben Gordon was a featured player on the Bulls. Ben Gordon was more of a proven commodity who had helped them in playoff series. I think they got to the second round even, and they lost in 7 games to the Boston Celtics. He was going, he might have even had a 50-point postseason game, Ben Gordon. That guy was, he was really good. And then he got a 5-for-$50 million offer from the Pistons, took it, made his money. So there's examples of it working out and betting on yourself, but Kuminga does not have the opportunity to prove, I think, on the Warriors that he's worth the contract that he would chase in free agency. And that's another reason why I don't think he wants to be here. Is I believe he'd bet on himself. And this was another situation and he had the chance to spread his wings, so to speak, I think he would sign the qualifying offer. But if he signs the qualifying offer, he's signing up to be a sixth man. And that's not typically a position, number one, where you get paid a whole lot of money, unless you're a great one like Naz Reid. And it's certainly not a place that he wants to be. He does not want to be a bench player. He wants to be featured. He wants the opportunity to prove that he can basically orchestrate an offense. And the two locations, I think, that are best suited for him are the ones that have called. It's just Sacramento and Phoenix, and he's trying to figure out how to get there.
Yeah, I think we're at the time where, look, it's obvious. This isn't good, and whatever ends up happening, I think, is going to be disappointing. But there are degrees of bad that could happen right now. And if we talk about the – this is why I do agree that him playing on the qualifying offer, $7.9 million, is unrealistic. Because that's a big gamble for both. That is a big gamble for Kuminga, and it's actually a big gamble for the Warriors. If for Noah, it's trouble for the Warriors because then they're looking at losing an asset for nothing, and they can also then Kuminga puts himself at the mercy of the Warriors in a free agent year. And it isn't even a matter of trying to keep his value down. It's a matter of Steve Kerr's not crazy about him. So, like, Kuminga was, you know, even if he had great intentions of, fine, I'll play on the eight and I'll go show everybody. Well, he might not get a chance. Like, he might not. So that's a risk. It's a risk for both teams.
Well, look, in the words of one of the executives who was quoted in Fred Katz's article this morning, if Kuminga takes the qualifying offer, quote, the Warriors are bleeped from a team-building standpoint. So the Warriors cannot afford to let him sign the qualifying offer. And that's, again, that's the only card he has to play. That's why I think the last 24 hours have not been coincidental. It's because it's dragged out for 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks. Everybody has assumed that the Warriors have all the leverage, and to some extent they do. But the only thing that he can hold over them is the threat of signing the qualifying offer.
Right.
I don't think that it would be wise of him to do it, but the Warriors cannot let him do that. That's why they're incentivized at this point, I think, to start trying to figure out how we can orchestrate a sign and trade, because this player does not want to come back. I think he poses more potential problems than solutions if he's on the team next year, just because he's clearly, I don't think he's going to be bought in. And the Warriors cannot afford to let their only asset of any value at this point walk for nothing. And that I also don't think the Warriors have shown themselves to be a franchise that operates like that. I mean, when they get a chance to trade somebody, they generally do it.
It's interesting because when we talk about leverage, and I'm with everybody. You know, the Warriors have most of the leverage here, but it doesn't mean Kuminga's without any leverage. Kuminga's leverage is he can make things really uncomfortable for the Warriors. If Jonathan Kuminga says to the Warriors, no, I'm not signing any contract with you guys. Okay, Jonathan, how about we'll give you $35 million a year. Well, they're not going to do that. So if Jonathan Kuminga has made it clear to the Warriors that he does not want to be here, he will not sign any multi-year extension, then the Warriors almost, then what do they do? What do they do? If it's not about money, he just doesn't want to be here. Then they've got to go out and try to find the best deal possible, but they won't have any leverage because the other team knows he doesn't want to play for the Warriors. That's why restricted free agency is, it's always been such a bad deal for the player. And we're seeing it with these four guys this year.
And I think it's an astute point from the 510 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Don't you think that any team interested in JK knows he's not going to make them a contender this year? So why give up the assets? Just wait until he's a free agent next year. JK's okay with that. He's 23. He knows he has two or three more big deals left, barring injury. Yeah, I wouldn't give up anything for Kuminga. I wouldn't. If I'm looking at this player and I like him, I have no incentive to offer the Golden State Warriors anything worth value right now, and that's why we're at an impasse. But how do people feel about it? After hearing the news, and we'll reset on the other side of what Anthony Slater is saying, Kuminga's camp is telling us, what Fred Katz is telling us, the league thinks about Kuminga. How are you feeling about the situation right now? 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson alongside Matt Steinmetz. That segment sponsored by the Honda of Vallejo.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.